שלום, אנחנו ממשיכים את
ה... We're continuing our preparation for the Worldwide Kabbalah Congress in New Jersey 2018. Today we will be reading excerpts from lesson number 5, Love Covers All Crimes in the 10.
משפט ידוע.
It's a well-known phrase, an ancient one. I would even say that this is the very first sentence, because everything begins from I created an evil inclination. If not for that evil inclination, there would be nothing upon which to build all the other discernments. I've created the evil inclination, I created the Torah as a spice, so the Torah as a spice that works on the evil inclination changes it, and then creation begins. Right? When something changes, it takes on different forms, opposite forms and similar forms to the Creator. And then we can say that between these forms exists the future created being, who is this place, the middle third of Tiferet, where sanctity and the Sita Achra on the other side fight. Then the created being is there, including both of them. Therefore, love covers all crimes, is the goal and also the process. And the end result is in the preliminary thought that upon all the crimes that were created purposely, they will all be covered with love, and then the crimes and the love together will give us the intensity, the power of the Creator, His uniqueness, all of the scrutiny of the richness of His qualities. Otherwise, we won't be able to distinguish, we won't be able to feel that we exist. This means that this sentence is a very general, inclusive, important one. It truly includes the whole of creation. Upon all crimes have created the evil inclination, love will cover, dvikut, adhesion. Actually, it comes from that. So, let us see. What is the connection between the crimes and the love? How do we cover crimes with love? How do we discover what the crimes are exactly? It has to be not what it appears to us now, because anyone who is disqualifying through his own faults. Maybe what I now consider as crimes are actually good things, and the other way around. How can we discriminate? How can we emphasize one over the other as light excels out of darkness? And also love. What is love? As much as I build love in order to reach it, we have to perform so many actions which are all completely opposite to my own nature. How do I even understand what it is? For me, love right now, well, it's clear what love is. What I love, that's love. Right? And the way I relate to whatever I love. That is, it's not the same love. That is, it's not the attitude to the same things that I now love, and it's also not the same attitude. It has to be an inclination towards something that maybe now I hate, and that inclination itself, which I call love, right? Meaning that it gives me fulfillment. It could be a very different feeling, a very different quality. All of these things, we have to scrutinize them. Maybe by that word, love, they mean something totally different. If it has to cover the crimes, if without that it is impossible to reach, it evokes doubts in me whether I even understand what this is about. So, let's study, please. Excerpt number 1 from Zohar, the portion of Tetzaveh, command item 86. There is no light except for that which comes out of the darkness. This is so because when that side surrenders, the Creator rises above and His glory grows. Also, the work of the Creator is only out of darkness, and there is no good except from within the bed. And when one enters a bad way and leaves it, the Creator rises in His glory. Hence, the perfection of everything is good and bad together, and to later depart to the good. And there is no good except for that which comes out of the bad. And in that good, the glory of the Creator increases, and this is complete work. Again, there is no light except for that which comes out of the darkness. This is so because when that side surrenders, the Creator rises above and His glory grows. Also, the work of the Creator is only out of darkness, and there is no good except from within the bed. And when one enters a bad way and leaves it, the Creator rises in His glory. Hence, the perfection of everything is good and bad together, and to later depart to the good. And there is no good except for that which comes out of the bad. And in that good, the glory of the Creator increases, and this is complete work. I don't quite understand. I was always thinking that there is bad and there is good, and the good comes and it covers the bad. And sometimes the bad covers over the good, so that both of them exist and they're in a struggle, one against the other. And then I also feel inside of me that this is how it could be. One time I'm on that side, another time I'm on that side, in doubts, undergoing changes and calculations, different calculations. However, here it says that the light is born out of the darkness, that the good is born out of the bad. That it's not that both of them exist and which one of them is going to cover the other. That is already something that I don't quite understand. How does it happen that from the bad, the evil, the good is born? The fact that they might cover one another, or they struggle, or both of them exist. But how come there is darkness, and out of the darkness, light is born? There is evil, and from the evil comes the good. How can that be? Please, let us think about it together.
Way seeing an example from them.
Rav, let's say that we have already gone through all kinds of changes, so we didn't feel the good and the bad as fighting over with each other. Suddenly we discover that something is springing from within, some kind of a new quality, a new understanding, and it's not necessarily through the struggles between them. How come that something new is growing out of the ego and the various views that we had before, etc.? Are these 2 degrees?
Rav, so probably there are 3 factors here. One is the soil, the second is the seed, the grain that's in the soil, and the third is the environment, the sun, the moisture or humidity. And Chabad Shalom explains it to us there in the Freedom article, right? And that's how it grows within us. So it's not just good covers the bad or bad covers the good. There have to be both good and bad that struggle for the grain to allow it to develop. Everyone pushes it to its side, perhaps. So there's something more complex here, where love covers all crimes is a struggle, however. The positive development unfolds from the bad, from the ground, from the will to receive. But it appears there as a part of the point in the heart that speaks in a person in a certain way, that, and then when a realization begins, when it begins to be realized from the inclinations and new efforts.
Except number two from Baal HaSulam, peace in the world. Everything in reality, good and bad, and even the most harmful in the world, has a right to exist and should not be eradicated from the world and destroyed. We must only correct it and reform it. Again, everything in reality, good and bad, and even the most harmful in the world, has a right to exist and should not be eradicated from the world and destroyed. We must only correct it and reform it.
What does it mean to reform it and bring it back to good? If it's the most horrible things that can be, they have a right to exist, the qualities, desires, inclinations of that sort. So what does it mean to reform them, to use them correctly? How? Or at least, how to guard them so that we don't lose them. Meaning, when I see, let's say, if not in me, then certainly in others, I see all sorts of things that I would be happy not to see. How do I at least relate to them properly, so that I understand it has to be that way, so that I grow correctly? How do I then see the bad qualities or inclinations in the friends? And not that I justify them, but I say these are mine, and what I'm seeing is a replication of me. And then, as I see it like a replica of me, I then justify the Creator, and I begin to work above these inclinations. In what way? That I no longer relate it to the friends, and also not to myself, but only to the Creator. And then how do I correct them? And every time I guard that what there is has to be there, I just stop myself and meticulously check that the way I relate to any phenomenon that I see is not to eradicate it, rather the other way around, to guard it and thereby change myself. How do I do this? Please.
This is the place for the work.
Rav, how do we examine whether it's a good grain or a bad one? Whether it's worthwhile to let it grow, or some things shouldn't be allowed to grow? how can we believe our own inspection, our own scrutiny? Like Rabash explains to us, how many tasks are involved in growing the fruit and fruit-bearing tree. So there's the work of cleaning them from all of the... How do you call that?
Shotim?
To clean it from all the weeds and all of that, in short. How do we distinguish between what's good and is worthwhile developing? How to do it, in short? The work begins from the inspection. Go ahead. This is the main work, and the world is full of all kinds of rumors and ideas. The scrutiny is the main thing. So, how do we build in the group such a system, such an analysis? So it can be certain what's good for it and what's not good for it, and it can then safely march forward. Go ahead. Like Chanoch described it.
Excerpt number 4 from Rabash, volume 1. Make for yourself a Rav and buy yourself a friend. Those people agreed to unite into a single group that engages in love of friends. It is because each of them feels that they have one desire that can unite all of their views, so as to receive the strength of love of others. There is a famous maxim by our sages: as their faces differ, their views differ. Thus, those who agreed among themselves to unite into a group understood that there isn't such a great distance in their views, in the sense that they recognize the necessity to work in love of others. Therefore, each of them will be able to make concessions in favor of the others, and they can unite around that.
Rob, most people are married here, right? Right? Raise your hands. Okay. So you at least all understand what it means to go into building a family. There's an agreement that we are building something mutual, and there are processes of involvement around something common. That's, you know, a house and debts and cooking and vacations and children mostly, and so on and so on. It's a mutual business. How do we see the group as such a business? Please, how do we feel it, just like I'm taking marrying a wife, a woman, and now beginning to build a family with her? The house and children and concerns and joys and all of that. Life, living together. How do we think about the spiritual life, spiritual... Rav, how can we envision ourselves... Let's say me and the friend group is just to make it easier. Because there everything becomes more subtle and not apparent. So, like there's two children in a family, two brothers fighting, and mother says, you'll get a prize if you'll be good kids, I'll be looking at you carefully during the day, if everything will be okay, in the evening, you'll get a prize, something like that. How do we come closer, hug each other, because mother demands on the one hand, and we have to appreciate mother and her importance, her greatness, more than everyone's ego, and however upset we are, but we do it in order to make mom happy.
You can get.
Rav, how do we move between getting a prize from mother or giving pleasure? Until friends.
Rav, we need to work against our inclinations or for the importance of the mother in our eyes. And how do we do it? Or, Rav, what prayer do we need to perform in practice? A prayer means raising a deficiency or man. So, what prayer do we have to perform so that the Creator will shine to us His importance, and then we will certainly be able to correctly actualize our choice, and we will cover the crimes with love? What prayer do we have to raise? Raising man means mei nukvin, a prayer. Mei nukvin, water, and nukvin, female. So, what should the prayer be comprised of? What do we have to do in order to put it together and to raise it? Please. Excerpt number 5 from Rabash, part 1, concerning the importance of the friends. How can one consider one's friend as greater than himself when he sees that his own merits are greater than his friend's, that he is more talented and he has better natural qualities? There are two ways to understand this. One, he is going with faith above reason. Once he has chosen him as a friend, he appreciates him above reason. Two, and this is more natural, within reason. If he has decided to accept the other as a friend, and he works on himself to love him, then it is natural with love to see only good things. And even if there are bad things in one's friend, he cannot see them. As it is written, love covers all crimes. Again, how can one consider one's friend as greater than himself? when he can see that his own merits are greater than his friends, that he is more talented and has better natural qualities. There are two ways to understand this. One, he is going with faith above reason. Once he has chosen him as a friend, he appreciates him above reason. Two, and this is more natural, within reason. If he has decided to accept the other as a friend, and he works on himself to love him, then it is natural with love to see only good things. And even if there are bad things in one's friend, he cannot see them. As it is written, love covers all crimes.
What's better, seeing the friend as good or seeing the friend as bad? What are you looking at me, Gershon? I'm not your friend. Okay, go ahead. What's better, to see the friend as good or see him as bad? That's the question. Excerpt number 6. This is from Rabbi Avraham Yehoshua. A person sees all the affliction but his own. Again, a person sees all the affliction but his own. The advice for this is to look at the one who is in front of him. If he sees that another person did something wrong, he should think, why did the Creator make me see this thing, if not because this affliction touches the walls of my own house, and because of the incitement of the inclination, my eyes could not see.
If I see something bad in someone, that bad exists in me. Right or wrong or why? Please. That attitude.
Rav, if I didn't have qualities that I now see in the friend, I wouldn't see them in the friend. It's like a baby who doesn't yet have certain qualities, so he doesn't see it in his surroundings. Same with me. I would not have not identified. I can only identify something opposite what's in me, then I can see it in the other. Not otherwise. That's how it always happens. So how does it happen? What do we do? Am I seeing? Why? Excerpt number 7. This is from Rabash concerning the importance of the friends. If one has love of friends, the rule in love is that you want to see the friends' merits and not their faults. Hence, if one sees some fault in one's friend, it's not a sign that his friend is at fault, but that the seer is at fault, meaning that because his love of friends is flawed, he sees faults in his friends. Therefore, he should now see to his friends' correction. He should now not see to his friends' correction, rather he himself needs correction. It follows that from all the above, he should not care for the correction of his friends' faults, which he sees in his friend, but he himself needs to correct the flaw he has created in love of friends. And when he corrects himself, he will see only his friends' merits and not his faults.
This means that I am always actually with the ability to make the right calculation. Until I see everyone as righteous and the world is corrected, I am not corrected. And here there is nothing else that I need to correct other than myself. Is that true? Well, repeat that with one sentence, please. Each one can add to the other. To the Creator. Excerpt number 8 from the writings of Rabash, article, What to Look For in the Assembly of Friends. Love of friends that is built on the basis of love of others, by which they can achieve the love of their Creator, is the opposite of what is normally considered love of friends. In other words, love of others does not mean that the friends will love me. Rather, it is I who must love the friends. For this reason, it makes no difference if the friend is slandering him and must certainly hate him. Instead, a person who wishes to acquire love of others needs the correction of loving the other. Therefore, when a person makes the effort and judges him favorably, it is a sgula, a virtue, where by the effort that a person makes, which is called an awakening from below, he is given strength from above to be able to love all the friends without exception. In what way am I given from above the strength to love the friends? In what way do I get from above the strength to love the friends? Rav, if we would, if the group, the society would be corrected according to the evil that is revealed, well, first we have to identify the evil. Maybe we are in it, but we don't discover it, that it is bad, because the evil is revealed against the good state that we can depict correctly. So, if we would identify the evil and correct it, the moment that it comes and is revealed each time, this is considered as going up the degrees of complementing the Kli up to Gmar Tikkun, the end of correction. So, therefore, each and everything which is revealed in the group and in the world, it is that same evil that we do not succeed in correcting. That is, we see the world as a corrupted Kli that we were not able to correct. And we see it in the same style that we could not correct it. If we, what are we lacking in order to correct it so that each time we will see the group in a corrected way? I can't quite put the question together in a more internal way. What are we lacking, in short, in order to correct the group, correct ourselves in the group, so that we will see it each time as a corrected spiritual degree? Please. Right now, what are we lacking? I need. Exit number 9 from the writings of Rabash, first volume, What to Look For in the Assembly of Friends. How is it possible to judge another person to the side of merit when his reason shows him his friend's true face, that he hates him? What can he tell the body about it? Why should it submit itself before his friend? The answer is that he wishes to achieve veikut with the Creator, called equivalence of form, meaning not to think of one's own benefit. Thus, why is doing such a difficult thing? The reason is that he must revoke his own worth, and the whole of his life that he wishes to live will be only with the consideration of his ability to work for others' benefit. Beginning with love of others, between men and men, and through the love of the Creator. Therefore, here is the place where one can say that any action he does is without any self-interest, since by reason, the friends are the ones who should love him. But he overcomes his reason, goes above reason, and says, it is not worth living for myself. And although one is not always at such a degree where he is able to say so, this is nonetheless the purpose of the work. Thus, he already has something with which to answer the body.
Obviously, besides importance, we don't need anything. Right? Only importance is lacking. Importance of the will to receive, importance of the will to bestow, importance of the Creator of this world, doesn't matter what, but only importance. Then we examine what's more important. How do we care for what's important? That it will always be on fire in the group. And accordingly, we won't waste time, we'll be more involved with the whole, with everything, with the lessons, with the mutual work, importance. How do we, throughout all our society, raise the importance? How much importance do you give to the group?
Rav, how do I help the friends be in importance? Well, of course, importance for the goal, for the work, for all of the goal and all of the means. How do I help the friends? I cannot work on myself. We talked about that 1,000 times. I can only work on the friends, and they can work on me. How do we do it? How come we don't feel it at the time that we come to the lesson? Each one sits down as though he doesn't owe anyone anything. There's no such thing that you don't owe it. You owe them everything. You owe them your life. How do we raise that? Talk about it. Talk about it.
Influences.
Rav, what is the relation between love and importance? Maybe it's one and the same. We're not talking about love based on hormones, right? Or all kinds of such other things. We are talking about the purposeful love. So, what connection is there between love and importance?
It's not important, and the other way around.
Rav, how does importance become love? How does importance become love? How many degrees are there in importance and accordingly degrees in love? How come importance and love are one and the same with respect to my will to receive? Please, please. You in order for, to raise your importance.
Rav, from what degree of importance do I begin to feel love? That it becomes so important to me, the thing that I say I love it. You can say it by way of sfirot, degrees of coarseness.